So the author of this psalm is David. This setting is well before he's known as King David. At this point, he's just a shepherd. He spends his days with sheep. It's boring and it's lonely, but it's during this time that David's relationship with God is cultivated. It's during this time that God prepares him for the life that will one day come. At this point, David didn't know how to govern. He didn't know how to lead a people. He knew sheep. He knew where to take them. He knew how to protect them. And he took the responsibility really seriously. And through this mundane job, he began to relate to God as his shepherd. And so that's how this psalm begins. The Lord is my shepherd. So this is not a trick question, but if the Lord is my shepherd, what does that make us? Sheep. I don't know anyone who wants to be identified as sheep. There are a lot of animals that I'm going to choose if I get the choice of what kind of animal I'm going to be, and far at the bottom is sheep. Sheep are known for a couple of things. One is that they're not that bright. They wander off, they get in trouble. This is why Jesus tells that story of the 100 sheep, and one runs off, and he goes to get him, even though the 99 are fine. And everybody listens and go like, yeah, that happened to me last week. Like, they all knew it. They knew what he was talking about. Sheep are kind of dumb. They're also defenseless. There are predators all around, and without the shepherd, they were goners. The sheep have no cool attack moves. And thus David made the connection that we too are sheep and we are dependent on our shepherd. And we may not like the idea of being sheep, right? But David understood that there's something worse than being sheep, and that's being sheep without a shepherd. The shepherd knows where food and water is. He knows when his sheep need rest. He knows when it's time to find new pastures. He knows what to do when an enemy comes. He knows how to protect those helpless sheep. And David knew that he too had a good shepherd. And so what was his response to that? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What big three words. I lack nothing. How unexpected is that? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I am completely taken care of. I'm content. I have what I need. I don't have to worry and have all this anxiety about life. I can trust. God created us and he knows us. He actually knows us better than any human could ever know us. And it's not some task that he reluctantly signed up for in taking care of us. He loves us because not only is he a good shepherd, he's a good parent. He wants to take care of us because we're his kids. He wants to provide what we need. And it's because the Lord is his shepherd, David can declare, I lack nothing. Now, when I think about David, I can think of a lot of things that he lacks. Maybe he has dreams of what he's going to do one day, yet he's here with these sheep. Maybe he thinks about one day having a family, yet in this moment he's alone and no doubt quite lonely. As we'll see later, he's quite easily forgotten even by his father and brothers. I can think of a lot of things that David could say was lacking in his life, yet he's content. The power of contentment. He's content with where his life currently is. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This word makes is key for me. I know we have quite a few parents with toddlers here. Think about the last time your kid was fighting taking a nap. Maybe it was yesterday. You knew he needed a nap. He did not. So he was going to fight it. And at some point, you just had to make him lie down in green pastures, aka his little bed. Or, true. He probably still fought it, screaming at how you must hate him. But you knew it was for his own good. So you let him cry until finally he fell asleep. And then 90 minutes later, woke up so refreshed and happy. You with me? Well, guess what? God does this with us as well. Again, it's fine to think about this when it comes to sheep or even our little adorable toddlers. But as adults, to think that he makes me lie down in green pastures. The crazy thing that it's worse with us as adults, because we actually boast about our lack of rest. How's it going? Man, it's crazy busy. It's cultural cred. We are out there hustling, we're checking off boxes and meeting deadlines, and we did it in only 4 hours of sleep. Exhaustion as a status symbol. So it's even a bigger deal for us. So at times, God makes us lie down in green pastures. How does he do this? Well, have you just ever been just running, 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 so ragged, your immune system is shot? What happens? You get sick. You're down for the count for a week. He makes me lie down in green pastures. We don't like it, but we need it. You know, another reason that sheep lie down in green pastures? It's because they are full. They're satisfied. Normally, if it's green pastures, the sheep's just going to keep eating. But at some point, the time comes when they're satisfied, and so they just lie down. David was reminding himself in this moment that he has everything he needs, that his shepherd is all about nourishing and satisfying him. He leads me beside still waters, quiet, still waters. I think about walking in nature. It's quiet. I feel the breeze. Maybe I hear the rustling of leaves, the birds chirping, maybe the water flowing. But there's not much else. And it allows me to just breathe a little slower, perhaps a little deeper than I normally am. And in that moment, I'm reminded of God's place and of mine. And it's a good feeling. I'm guessing most of us got to experience the eclipse a couple of weeks ago, even if it was just walking outside your office for a few minutes. I didn't know this until maybe the day before, and I was reading up on it. I learned that the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but it's also 400 times closer to the earth than the sun. How cool is that? We went to Jonesboro, and that almost 3 minutes of total eclipse was this kind of moment. Quiet, even holy. It allows you to just step back and take a moment. He restores my soul. All of this leads to restoration. Not simply of my body, but my very soul, which is the most important part of me. Our souls are so important, yet so often neglected. We all know what it feels like to be depleted, don't we? Do you know what it feels like to have a soul that is best described as restored or full? Can you think about a time when you felt that way? Maybe think about on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being depleted and 10 being just completely full. Where would you put yourself today? Last week, our shepherd wants to restore our souls. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you were to decide to buy some land and some sheep, which maybe some of you are thinking about that right now, I don't know. You can't just put them on land and leave them alone. You know what they'll do? They will absolutely destroy the land. They will stay in the same place far too long, overgrazing and hurting the land. Sheep need to be led. They need to be on the move. I'm sure that's not comfortable, right? Hey, let's stay here. It's great. Dang, shepherd keeps moving us. But it's for their own good, and it's for the land's own good. Again, I think we're kind of the same way. We like to stay where it's comfortable, right? With what we know, even though it can be damaging or harmful in the long run. Yet we think we know what's best. I was thinking about Isaiah 53, we like sheep have gone astray, each of us turned to our own way. That is in our nature to continue to think we know what's best. Yet our shepherd continues to push us often into what's uncomfortable, what's unknown, and it can be so hard, but it's for our own good. One of the reasons I think we have church is to remind ourselves, hey, the shepherd continues to push us. I'm not alone in that. It's us. We all do this. We all have to step out into the unknown and what's uncomfortable. Let's at least be reminded that we're not alone in that. So the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now we take a turn. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why did we have to go here, right? Notice he does not say, if I ever walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, even though. Sounds to me like David was going through it right in this moment. Whether he is a shepherd in this moment and an animal last night attacked, or maybe it's later on in his life, he's going through something really difficult and he's thinking back on this. Think about yourself. Have you recently gone through something so challenging that it could be described as the valley of the shadow of death? Well, here's where it gets interesting. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David is not afraid, even though he's going through this, and it's not because he's a beast with the club. It's because his shepherd is with him. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the heart of this psalm. And I'd say this is the heart of our faith. I want to read from a book by Dallas Willard. I don't know if you're familiar with Dallas Willard or not. He was a professor of philosophy at USC for many years, but he also wrote several books on spiritual formation, and his writings have shaped my life probably more than any others. His book, Life Without Lack, was published after his death, and it's about this psalm. And I took that title as my sermon title, and it's also where that prayer came from I read earlier. It's going to be on the screen. Here's what he says. The emphasis throughout the shepherd's psalm is the fact that God is with us. The life without lack flows out of our relationship with him. Our challenge is to stay with him in the increasing belief that God truly desires to be with us. God wants to be with me. He wants to be with you. It is true. I assure you it is true. It is the testimony of the biblical writers from beginning to end. In particular, it is the clear promise of a favorite passage of mine, Hebrews 13, 5-6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? David recognized the presence of his shepherd even more during those trying times. And he knew this. It's the same way as when he was a shepherd. He himself was a shepherd with the sheep he was responsible for. He always needed to be somewhat alert, but when danger came, he was even more engaged. He was with his sheep, and he would do all he could do to keep them safe. Now notice that our shepherd never says he's going to keep us from going through the valley of the shadow of death. But he says he'll never leave us. Other thing I find really interesting in this moment is that David shifts the pronouns. Do you notice that? It's now you instead of he. It's getting more personal. It's getting more serious. It's getting more intimate. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I find comfort to be an odd choice here. I get the rod, right? When a predator would attack and those sheep were in the literal shadow of death, the shepherd would fight them off, whatever that predator was, with that rod. But what about the staff? You've seen this. The shepherd's staff is this long stick with a hook on it. And it was used to guide, but it can also be used to grab a sheep by its neck when that dumb sheep's about to walk off a cliff or something. No one wants that around their neck, but in moments of danger, it is truly life-saving, perhaps comforting. Now David moves on to this last section. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. What does that mean? You're telling me I'm at dinner one night with my enemies. I didn't even know I had enemies. And somebody comes over and dumps oil on my head, and then they don't stop pouring the wine, and it gets all over the table. This is really confusing, right? What's happening? In the past, I think I've had this picture with this kind of like, ha, look at me, enemies. I got a bunch of good food, and somebody's pouring oil all over my head. Again, though, I still don't exactly know what to do with it. Maybe it's not that gloating because I got a lot of food and I'm getting oil dumped over my head. You know, we've talked about how our good shepherd loves to provide for us. He wants to give us what we need. But now we're talking about something more. This is a feast. This is abundance. It's far beyond simply having our needs met. And maybe David recognizes the abundance in the room. He's been invited to an unexpected feast that he knows he's not deserving of. Think here about the parable of the prodigal son. It says that the son comes to his senses wanting to just go home and be a servant in his father's household because that would be better than his current circumstances. Yet the father says, no, now is the time for a party. And here in this corner of this feast are David's enemies. But maybe they're not really his enemies. Just as he's being served and shown grace and abundance, perhaps he's meant to show that same grace and service and abundance to them. So maybe this is not simply an invitation to David from his good shepherd. It's also one to his enemies. So you've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. So this was just a sign of blessing and consecration. My cup runs over. I think we get this picture. We live much of our lives with our cup about halfway full. And it's manageable. At least it's normal. But it's not the abundant life that Jesus talks about. David says that the shepherd wants to keep filling our cup. And not just to the top, he wants it to overflow, which means that it's spilling out to others. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love these words. The word follows can best be translated pursue. Goodness and mercy are coming after us. We can't outrun them, even though we sometimes try. In this life, our shepherd is so near, and his desire is to guide you and be with you, to give you everything you need. And one day, this life will be over. But our time with him continues on, because we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What this psalm does for me is it reminds me that it is actually a good thing to come to the end of my rope, to recognize my insufficiency to do life on my own, to come to the understanding that I was actually never meant to do life on my own, that I need God, that I'm at my best, that we are at our best when we are dependent on him to give us what we can get nowhere else. Now, I want to end our time by asking a question. Who is this really for? Have you found yourself thinking this morning that maybe this isn't for you, that perhaps it doesn't apply to you? Is it only for those who grew up in this part of town or who had these kinds of parents or went to this type of school or have this type of job or who did all of these good things or avoided all of these bad things? The truth is, it doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from. Sure, David became the most powerful man in his nation, but it didn't start that way. He started as an overlooked younger brother. When Samuel comes to his village to choose from among his family the next king of Israel, No one even thought to notify David. He couldn't be the one, right? That's what his dad and his brothers are saying. So they just left him with the sheep. So Samuel goes through each brother thinking, this must be the one. He's tall and handsome. And each time God says, nope. And it's in this moment, 1 Samuel 16, that we learn that God doesn't look at the things that humans look at. Humans look at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So Samuel gets to the end of this line of young men, and he asks, Dad, you got any more kids? I was pretty sure God told me to come here. Oh, yeah, there's David. He's with the sheep. Go get him. He's the one we're looking for. And then the oil is poured over his head, and he's anointed Israel's king. I want to invite you to just close your eyes. Maybe place your palms, your hands in your lap, palms up as an act of receiving. And I want to read this psalm one last time. Maybe take a few deep breaths. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Mindy.